There came a sound from heaven, just like a mighty rushing wind. It filled their hearts with singing, and it gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise. He said, the Spirit will descend, and from your inner being a river with no
Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14 in your Bible. Now, that's in your Old Testament, Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. You go to Genesis and take two rights, and you're going to be in the book called Leviticus chapter number 14. Going to read seven verses and bring you a couple of thoughts here from Leviticus chapter 14. Are you glad to be in church? Say amen.
Amen.
Leviticus chapter 14. Hopefully by now you found it. Have you found it? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're in the New Testament somewhere, you might want to come to church a little more. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Lord, some 90 people that are gathered in here. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, those that are here, those that are watching by way of internet, those that are may watch a little later, whatever the case might be. Lord, I thank you for them in advance. I thank you for these people that come Sunday after Sunday. They're faithful to be here in their place. And Lord, I thank you for this church and what's going on in this church and the building process and, Lord, making room for more people. Thank you for it. I ask you to bless now the reading of your word as you always do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, when you read Leviticus chapter 14, everything we just read in seven verses, I know if you're not just real knowledgeable about the book Leviticus, when I started reading through the Bible, I'll be honest. Can I be honest with y'all? I'd skip most Leviticus. It starts talking about all this stuff. I'm like, what in the world is all this stuff talking about, Brother Russ? How many, in Leviticus, what in the world are they talking about? Take two birds, one alive, kill one, and dip the blood in the oven, and doing this, and then, you know, slap this one and knock this one out and go over here. And I'm like, what all does this mean? And so I got to looking at this thing. Everything, there's nothing in the Bible that's in there by mistake. Everything that's in the Bible is in there that points to something else. So when you start reading Leviticus, you see that there is a leper. This person has leprosy. Now, we're not, it's not very common today. Leprosy, our leprosy of the day would be cancer. Our cancer is on the inside. This leprosy would be on the outside of a person. And when a person that had leprosy, this thing started out as a small, insignificant, just little red spot on the skin. And it would look just like it wouldn't hurt. It didn't itch. It didn't do nothing. It just show up. And then you might scratch on it a little bit and just see if you could get it off your skin. And then the next day it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it starts growing and it starts growing. It's still not painful, but it still starts growing. And this leprosy, it starts growing and then it starts eating away your skin. Sometimes you see a person that's got leprosy, it'll take off a finger, it'll take off a nose, it'll eat off the skin from the outside, but something that starts off very small. It's not painful, it doesn't hurt, but this person that starts out with leprosy, it starts out very small. Now in the Bible, leprosy is a type and a picture of sin. Sin starts off very, very small. Very insignificant. It's not painful. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm not hurting nobody? I'd do this. And it's not hurting nobody. See, it's not painful. It just starts out and you might just scratch your seat. And then tomorrow it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And that sin begins to eat away at your body. Now, I know it's getting quiet in here because people don't like to talk about their sin. Hallelujah. But all of us have it. From up here all the way to the back, we all have it. And it starts out very, very small. And we just brush it aside. And we don't take care of it. We don't fix it when it first shows up. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it'll start dividing families. It'll start hurting churches. This thing, it starts out very small and it seems just like it's insignificant, but then sin will take over and it starts out very small. It spreads silently and then it starts separating you. A person that had leprosy couldn't go home to their family. They had to separate. They had to quarantine. They had to go over here and they couldn't go to church. They couldn't go to their family. They couldn't go to work. They couldn't go anywhere where the public was. Sin will separate you from your community and your family and your church family and everything that you love and appreciate, it will separate you from all of that. That's what sin will do. And sometimes there's no pain involved. Have you ever, sin is almost like going to the dentist. Yes, it is a sin to go to the dentist. Boy, I don't like the dentist. I don't know if there's any dentists in here, but I'm telling you. Anybody that has a drill that sounds like, and you go, But what they do before they go in there, they deaden your mouth and your past feeling. You can't feel what it's doing. And you start drooling at the same time. And your lip is all fat. And it's drool coming, and you don't feel anything. Sin, that's the way it does. Before sin just starts taking effect, I think the Bible calls it something like our conscience is seared with a hot iron. That's the way sin will do. That's the way leprosy started out very small. And it started separating people from their families and from their church and from their communities. But you didn't want to come to hear about your sin, I know. You didn't come to church to hear about your sin. You want to know about all of this going on in Leviticus chapter 14. And I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you. And it may take me an hour to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. Sin separates. Separates you from the very presence of God. So, leprosy is a type of sin. This leprous person. Matter of fact, if you ever saw in the Bible days, if a person had leprosy and they're going down the street, a county road or whatever, and a clean person, what they call clean, you have unclean and clean. And so a person that didn't have leprosy would call clean. They're walking down the road. The leper would have to take over here and go into the ditch and let them pass. And while they pass, he would have to holler, unclean, unclean. So they would know to stay away. That's the way sin will do to you. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Now, we look at verse number 3. I want you to look at verse number 3. And so in verse number 3, the priest, y'all get ready. Now, I know nobody's shouting because we're talking about sin and nobody likes to talk about their sin. And everybody thinks everybody else's sin is worse than theirs. But I'm just here to tell you, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You might as well look in the mirror every morning and say, hey, I know you're a sinner, but I'm saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Now, verse number 3 says, and the priest, if a person that has leprosy, have we determined that everybody in here's got leprosy? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Everybody, we got leprosy. Yeah. All have sinned. Yeah. So everybody's got leprosy. So we're going to try to get rid of it today. Yeah. How many of you want to get rid of your leprosy today? Yeah. Okay, I think I'll tell you how to do it. The first thing, you got to go show yourself to the priest. Now, I'm not talking about one of them dudes that wear the collar all backwards and down here and you have to go in a little booth and raise a window and say, you know, Father, I sin. I ain't talking about that kind of priest. I'm talking about a high priest that's seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's the priest I'm talking about. Now watch. And the priest, verse 3. I don't know if Dalton's found it over there, but then the priest shall go forth out the camp. And the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then he goes all of these steps. Notice, y'all get ready to shout. You ready? Okay. The leprosy has to go show itself to the priest. But the leper can't come into the camp. The priest has to go out to... Oh, I wish I had some Bible readers in here this morning. The leper can't come in the camp. But the high priest has to go out to where the leper was. When I couldn't come to him, he came to me. I couldn't come to him, so he came down here to where I was. He came down here to where I was. When I couldn't get up to him, he said, hang on, I'll come down there to where you are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's not even my equipment. Whew. That's Ethan's. Hopefully he didn't see that. Leper couldn't come into camp. Priest had to go out to where he was. That's why Hebrews says Jesus died outside the camp. He suffered outside the camp. He was put to death outside the camp. The crucifixion didn't happen in the city walls of Drew. It was outside. The priest had to come outside to meet us where we were. Then, after all of that takes place, watch. Number, let me give you three or four things real quick, and then we're going to go to Chick-fil-A. I'm buying everybody's meal at Chick-fil-A today. How many of y'all caught that? I'm buying everybody's today. Don't you worry. You go to Chick-fil-A, I'll meet you there after church. Hallelujah. So, now, some of you hadn't picked up on Chick-fil-A's closed on Sunday. Hallelujah. All right. Number one, there had to be a body. You say, preacher, I don't see a body in there. Oh, I do. Watch this. Over there, verse number five, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel. An earthen vessel, something that was made out of the dirt. So I see a body, an earthen vessel, that is going to be used to cleanse this leper. This earthen vessel, you say, preacher, is that a Bible? Oh, yeah. I think the Bible says something like, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I think the Bible says something like, God went into the Garden of Eden, scooped up a bunch of dirt, breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Everybody in here is an earthen vessel. Jesus, up in heaven, he had to come outside the camp. But before he come outside the camp, he had to find a body. And so the Holy Spirit called Mary up and says, hey, can I use your body to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Holy Spirit conceived Jesus Christ in Mary. And when he was born in a body, an earthen vessel, just like you and I. And because she was virgin, he was virgin born, and she was a virgin. He wasn't born like with all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Since he was born from a virgin, he was born sinless, earthen vessel. So there has to be a body. And so they take this body. You say, preacher, you got any verse? Oh, yeah. 1 Peter 2:24. Who him own self bare our sins in his own body. Hebrews, I think, verse 10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how did we get in this mess? How did we get into this sinful mess? Because of Adam. By a man. A man got us into this. An earthen vessel got us into this mess. So an earthen vessel has to come and get us out of this mess. An earthen vessel got us into the mess. So to get us out, an earthen vessel had to come down here and get into a body and come down here and get us out of the mess that we got into. Had to be a body. But number two, let me show this. Had to be a body, but then there had to be blood. Blood was involved. I think Hebrews, help me, Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Not only does it have to be a body, but it has to be blood. Amen. Notice this high priest. This high priest takes two birds. It had to be clean birds. I don't know what kind of bird. It doesn't say what kind of clean bird or kind of birds it was. It just said two clean birds. He takes two clean birds. And he takes these two clean birds to picture the Lord Jesus Christ. The high priest takes these two birds, and the Bible says that he had to take these two birds, and he killed one of these birds. Now, look at, you got to see this. Look at verse 4. Then shall the priest command, take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood. Had to be a body, had to be blood involved, and it looks like there's a tree involved. It looks like to me, cedar wood, it looks like there's a tree involved. I think the Bible says he hung upon a tree. Cursed is everyone, it hangeth on the tree. He bare our sins on the tree. How did we get in this mess? Cause of a tree. Where's my Pentecostal side? Adam got us in this mess. A human body got us in this mess. So a body has to come and get us out. But he ate of a tree. And that got us in the mess. So a tree has to be used to get us out. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. Zacchaeus, when he wanted to get to Jesus, he had to climb up and... has to be a tree involved. Cedar wood. So he takes two birds. And this cedar wood, this tree that's involved. And then he takes that tree and the cedar wood and the two birds, alive and clean, and scarlet and hyssop. And his priest commands one of the birds to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now, running water, we already learned this last week, the potter and the clay sermon. The running water, by the washing of the water by the word. So the word of God is that running water. You say, why does it have to be running? It can't be stagnant water. If it's going to picture the Bible and the word, it has to be running water, living water. It's got to be running water. So now we got two birds, and he's going to kill one of the birds and put the blood in that earth. Y'all stay with me on Sunday morning. Stay with me right here because y'all fixing to shout all over this place. We're going to build another building like this before we ever get in that one. Takes that earthen vessel, kills one of the birds, put the blood in this bird, in this bowl, the earthen vessel. He takes a live bird and dips him, plunges him in the blood. Holds him up and lets that bird go free. He lets that bird go free. So out of death comes life. Out of death, one dead bird, blood in the earthen vessel. And he dips the live bird into that blood, brings forth. He lets him go free into the open field. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes. It has to be blood. It had to be a body. And then, if you'll notice, it has to be this baptism. No water involved, but it was he took that live bird and dipped him under that blood. And he let him go free. Now remember, that leper is standing right in front of the priest. The priest comes out to meet him. He lets that bird go, and that bird starts flapping to fly, and blood sprinkles all over that leper. Hallelujah. I'm really enjoying my own preaching. Now, notice, and so it takes the two birds, and then he puts that live bird and the dead bird. There he goes. He goes off. All this has to be done over running water. Now, you're thinking, I ain't never seen that in the New Testament. I ain't never seen that New Testament. I'm going to show you. 1 Corinthians 15, You got it there? About verse 1? I think it says something like this. You there? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel is the good news, which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Am I about right? Also you are saved, and wherein you stand. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which was also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to, what's the scriptures? Running water. And that he was buried. The first bird died. Put the blood in the earthen vessel. He was dead according to scriptures. The life bird is buried. Buried in the blood. According to the what? According to the running water. That he was buried. All right, what's my next verse? And that he took the live bird and let him go. The live bird was set free. It was a resurrection. Took the bird. Dead. Death. Blood. Buried. Let the live bird go free. Resurrection. That, my friend, is the gospel. You say, why in the world they do all this crazy stuff in Leviticus 4? High priest, bird, and kill one, and put an earthen vessel, and then dip this bird, and then all of that right there is pointing to how you and I get cleansed by the marvelous grace of God. Yes, we've been sick. Yes, we've had leprosy running through our body. But when you come to the high priest, he'll come out and meet you where you are. He'll show you where he was dead. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. And glorious rose from the dead on resurrection day. And now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for me and for you. Hallelujah. That, my friend, is the gospel. Now, let me show you this. We might be getting down, hope, down to the close. No amens, please. But now, let me show you this. You just seeing what I just painted, tried my best to paint a picture of for you. You just seeing it don't save you. You just seeing that right there don't save you. The blood has to be applied. You remember in Exodus 14, he told Moses, he said, on Passover, he said, you kill a lamb, kill it in the blood. But you have to take the blood and put it on your house. Now, they just kill a lamb. That pictures Jesus dying on the cross. You just kill a lamb. If you don't put the blood and apply it to your house. A lot of people sit in church and they say, boy, preacher, that is good. I've never seen it. That is wonderful how the Lord did that. But you can sit there and love it all you want to. But you better make sure you take the blood and put it on the door of your house. You sit there and love it all you want to. Just make sure you apply it to the doorposts of your house. Now, let me tell you this before we go. I think it's the last verse, Dalton. No, I got, watch this. Let's see, I found something else. Look at verse 7. And he shall sprinkle upon him, that's the leper, that is to be cleansed from the leprosy, 7 times. He's supposed to pray. So he takes this hyssop bush. This hyssop, I wish I had a picture of it, but the hyssop bush, hallelujah, didn't take my medicine this morning. This hyssop bush was sort of like a sponge looking bush. And it was, you know, like a bush or whatever. And they would take that, and they didn't have sponges like you buy at Walmart, dollar store, all of that. But this thing worked as a sponge. It was a little spongy thing, and it come out of the ground. And so they would dip that in the blood, and they would, you know, do like this, and they would sprinkle that leper 7 times. Matter of fact, do y'all remember on the cross, Jesus cried, he said, I thirst. They took hyssop and dipped it in vinegar. They were going to give him water, but they dipped it in vinegar and put it up to his mouth. That's how, it's a sponge. So this priest, he took a hyssop bush, dipped it in that blood, and that leper sitting there 7 times. Are y'all ready? Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross. Before he ever got to the cross, they took him to a place called Gabbatha, the place of the pavement. And they beat him with a cat of nine tails, and he bled from his back. Then they took him to the cross, and they put him on his head a crown of thorns. Then they laid him on that cross, and they drove nails into both hands and both feet. Then after he died, a soldier took a spear and thrust it through his side, and forthwith come blood and water. He bled from his back. He bled from his head and crown of thorns. He bled from his two hands and his two feet. And after he was died, they pierced him in his side. Do I need to do that over here for the Pentecostal side? Yeah, I wasn't getting a response. When I saw that, I threw a songbook in the car. I said, how in the world does that connect over here? And he bled from his body, seven different places. The blood is applied. It's 11:20. Oh, I got time to show you this. Dalton, go to verse 14 over there. Y'all like Bible preaching? Watch it. Let me show this. I promise we're gonna go. Verse 14. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be clean. Put it on his right ear, and the tip of the thumb of his right hand, and the great toe of his right foot. So he would take the blood of that dead bird, and he would put it on the top right ear, right thumb, and his right big toe. From head to... Okay. Stay in your seat. Well, you side. In verse 15, and the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it in the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil of his left hand, and shall sprinkle the oil on the seven times before the Lord, and the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall put on the tip of the right ear to be cleansed, the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass. Okay, so the blood goes on first. And then he comes back and he puts oil on top of the oil. Or oil on top of the blood. He puts the oil on top of the blood. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm going to tell you this. The blood, the oil pictures the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. So the blood got rid of the leprosy. The oil kept it from coming back. It kept it from coming back. You say, preacher, are you still saved? I'm saved. I could swing out over hell on a rotten corn stalk, spit in the devil's eye, swing back, singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I'm so saved, it's pitiful. You say, how'd you get saved? I got saved by the blood. And then the Holy Spirit come on back there and said, let me seal that deal right there. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what's this sealing? What all this sealing? Well, you ladies that can, I don't know why anybody wants canned green beans. Have no idea. Get your right life right with the Lord. Can something good. If you're going to can something, peaches or something like that. But you take that mason fruit jar, and it's got that little thin lid. You pop that lid on top of there, and you just screw the metal lid on top of that thing, and that seals that thing. That'll preserve everything that's on the inside. You put it on the shelf, it'll stay there. Until you get ready to use it. You unscrew that thing, and you have to stick your thumb up on that thing and pry that thing, and it makes that pop it. You know, popping noise. Who did that? That was it. Whatever it was, it was a popping noise. I can't make it. You know, There we go. And it's like a suction. And then you can get whatever's on the inside out. And when you got saved by the blood. And then God puts you in a mason fruit jar. And that mason fruit jar is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is hid in God. Jesus Christ is in God. And I'm in Jesus Christ in the jar. I got a Holy Spirit put a lid on top of me, screwed it down, and I'm sealed until the day of redemption. So when the trumpet sounds, when the Lord comes, he's going to unscrew that lid. And he's going to say, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Somebody do that sound. Yeah. He's going to unscrew that. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, we which are alive and remain. And everything on this earth gets sucked out. And we go to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad I'm saved. Sammy's coming to the piano. If you've never trusted Christ, I tried my best to paint you a picture of salvation. What Christ did for you. That priest. Oh, it's not an earthly priest. You don't have to come confess your sins to me. I can't help you. I can't do you no good except point you to the right direction. But if you go to him, he'll meet you right where you are and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let's all stand all over the building. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us now. The invitation somebody might need to get saved.